This is Phantom Island, brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Ryan Nanny. The Dallas Cowboys won 7 games last year.
They did.
They are on national television 8 times this year.
This is, all right, I want to step slightly back here. You have a larger thing with the Dallas Cowboys and television. Can we talk about that?
All right, so really fast, because how many times you're on national television is annoyingly popular.
Mm-hmm.
We're recording this in May. The NFL schedule came out, like, I don't know, recently.
Yeah.
Which is what inspired that long, exasperated sigh that I'm talking through. So when I say national, I'm not talking about primetime games. People talk about primetime games all the time in the NFL.
Not exclusively. Yeah, right.
So primetime game, obviously, Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football.
Thursday night on Prime.
And God's Forgotten Child, Thursday night on Prime. I'm not talking about just those.
Yeah.
So here, this is my stance, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. National to me is anything that is broadcast nationally that's mm-hmm. unopposed. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
So it's Monday night, Sunday night, Thursday night, but it's also a Thanksgiving afternoon game.
Any of the Thanksgiving games.
Christmas. Yeah. Any of the Christmas games.
Sure.
Any of the Black Friday games.
Right. Forgot about it. Yep. Okay.
Which I didn't even include in my notes. I just thought, that's a new thing as the NFL seeps into every facet of our life.
Yeah.
And then also the Sunday morning games that are like European kick
from
times.
European
right.
Broadcast.
Okay. Yeah. My logic there is based on the NFL's, like, whether you like it or not, dominance of the entire American entertainment
landscape.
This
is what we're having for dinner. If you don't like it, too bad.
Yeah. Because if an NFL game is on, that will reset the ratings table for that day, night, morning, 4 a.m., whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for shits and giggles, they really could just be like, we're putting the Jags on at 4 a.m. Eastern.
Sure.
Just to see what kind of rating it would pop.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying.
All right, so that's my logic. My history with the Dallas Cowboys is that I never really thought one way or the other about the Dallas Cowboys. Okay.
Even in their heyday?
Especially in their heyday because, like, I'm not proud because, like, my application is pending, but I'm on the very, 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 very end of Gen X.
Yes.
But, like, as a kid who, like, the 90s shaped all of my pop, early. I've seen things on YouTube, like, early, okay. Right?
Yep.
I'm not taking responsibility for
when
Korn,
MTV was
okay?
really MTV.
That's right.
Okay.
All right, enough caveats there. In the 90s, the Dallas Cowboys just sort of existed as a marquee entity, the same way the Chicago Bulls did. And if you were like a rival fan, you had thoughts about them, at least from my hazy memory. But I was also like, my favorite sports team was technically also in the NFL, but like during that period, like we might as well have been in a different league.
Right.
If you were to think like English soccer, whatever.
Right.
Okay. Like, I didn't look at the Cowboys and like, oh, gosh. And I was growing up in Washington, D.C. in the suburbs.
Okay.
Where that team's fandom, the team that shan't be, well, is no longer named.
Yeah.
I don't want to be anachronistic and call them the Commanders of the early 90s. That fan base sucked. sucks present tense, too.
Uh-huh.
But sucked in the 90s. Okay.
Yeah.
Mark Rippon's a nice guy. I met him, but like Charles Mann's a nice guy. I think Dexter Manley's okay, but like, oh, they suck. So, point is, I didn't really have a feeling one way or the other about the Cowboys.
Have any strong emotional.
Hey,
yeah.
They seemed good at football.
They were good at football.
Yeah. So this is a really long and winding preference, as I am wont to do, because I don't care. Except I care a lot, and this is why I care a lot. Starting in the late 90s and into the aughts, the first time I can feel exasperated by the Dallas Cowboys was that the Cowboys got bad, sometimes terrible, sometimes just bad, and the national media and the NFL broadcasting partners and the pregame shows and the talk radio shows and the league itself and like Sports Illustrated, blah, 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 like, no one noticed, no one adjusted. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
yes, I'm pausing because I went to look something up.
Okay.
Do you know when the Dallas Cowboys first got the America's Team nickname? If you had to guess.
It's really weird that you say this because I follow... This is a disputed claim.
Okay.
America's Team.
Great.
And I follow a social media account called like Braves on TBS. Mm-hmm. You see where I'm going with this. And they dig up... God knows where they're finding this stuff unless they're actually breaking into the Turner Library in Atlanta. They busted out America's Team takes on the Cubs, and it was like from 1984 or 5, and I was like, we were shit back then.
Sure.
Like 90-game losing franchise.
Yeah.
And I thought, did they just foist that upon America because they were on a national cable network? When the Cowboys thing showed up,
yeah,
we as Braves fans... Also, I realized I kind of grew up like... I think my dad was just a really spiteful sports fan where he was like... He planted a lot of flags. But we were very mad as Braves fans that the Cowboys were America's team. I'm filibustering because I have no idea where I should range my guess. But I think... I remember it being... I mean, I remember them being referenced more in hindsight to the Super Bowls, in retrospect.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say, I don't know, 97.
It actually goes all the way back to 1978.
I was so wrong.
It was what self. The f- it was How self is that possible? Applied. It was self applied.
Well, yeah, they always are.
It was self applied, and then in their first game in the 1979 season, Pat Summerall introduced them as America's team on the broadcast. But this is during a different time in Cowboys history. This is the Tom Landry era when they have 20 consecutive winning seasons. Okay. They go to 12 conference championship games. They go to 5 Super Bowls. They have Roger Staubach. Like, this is a... The case was different at this point.
So the case was just, we're good? So we're America's team?
Well, I think they sort of said, well, when we're on the road, we see all these Cowboys fans in the stand, and they're 4. This is also probably where we get into a longer discussion about, like, limited television broadcast. Let's not do that. Let's not do that today. Let me jump you right back into the Cowboys.
Sorry, you were cutting yourself off, and I thought you were saying let's not do that as I just grunt with exasperation. Let's not do either, actually.
I don't want you to grunt about the 1970s and 80s Cowboys. I want you to grunt about the 2020s Cowboys. How about that?
It's sad because like I do love some Jimmy Johnson.
Sure.
I had to read his bio for work one time, and I was like, oh, this man's delightful, and his ability to just undo Jerry Jones. Like, I realize I like Jimmy a lot more than when he was coached the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. And also, some of this is painted by, like, and I'm saying this to a Florida grad, like, most of us look back fondly on the ridiculousness of the 80s Miami Hurricanes. Yeah. It's like, that's Jimmy, too.
Yeah.
I don't have an opinion about Troy Aikman.
Okay.
Emmitt Smith seems fine. Jay Novacek, great.
I know. All right. Like, I'm gonna pull you out here for a second.
I promise I don't hate everybody. I hate people or media entities who are irrationally focused on the Dallas Cowboys.
Right. And this is a game you and I have that I think is...
When did we start this?
You would have to tell me. And it's not just with me. I think other people are welcome to do this.
Oh, I can tell you when.
Okay.
I was in physical therapy in 2021.
Yeah.
And was at a facility where I'm like... And if you're listening to this, like... Gym, oil change facility, doctor's office, usually.
Anywhere a television is on and doesn't have audio.
And it's probably ESPN.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Or maybe like a Law and Order marathon.
Sure.
Okay. Chung. I, at this point, the Cowboys are too ridiculously, stupidly overcovered, has calcified in my brain. But I started playing a game with myself, and I would bring it to you and our old little group at Banner Society. And I would be really angry. And I would also like really pout about this in the old Twitter days to the point where, of course, I directed it at ESPN first because that's the game I'm about to tell you about. But like, I had a lot of ESPN talent like message me and be like, "We get it, stop it." This is the game, and you can play it at home.
Yeah,
and you can also
play it on social media.
You can at me. I think I'm just Stephen Godfrey at Blue Sky. Yeah. You'll find me.
Yeah,
just listen for the screams, and then I have all the old 38 Godfrey handles on all the other social sites. The game was, if I looked up for 10, if I watched one of these ESPN on mutes. By the way, this is like the hours of 7 a.m. Central Time to 11 a.m. Central Time.
Yeah, sure.
Which is like, it used to be, I don't even know what it is anymore. It used to be like a morning sports center and then the old holler box, as I call them, which is just like two pundits screaming at each other, some iteration. I'm not going to get into all those people. Like, that's a whole other thing. This is an awful announcing. But like, just people behind pastel backgrounds fucking screaming at each other. Mm-hmm. And the game was, if you looked for 10 minutes, you would see the Dallas Cowboys.
And it didn't matter what time of year it was.
That's the game.
Yeah.
If the NBA finals were the night before. Sure. I mean, if it was Stanley Cup was the night before, ESPN had no acknowledgement until like a year ago when they got the license back. If it was
March Madness,
Game 7 of the World Series, did not matter.
Yeah.
It meant nothing on the sports calendar. And in fact, where it really jumped out at me were certain Super Bowl weeks.
Mm.
Where Cowboys, spoiler, because this is within the last 10 years, not in the Super Bowl, not close to the Super Bowl. Not relevant.
You could go a lot farther than 10 years if you want. Shit.
And yet, there would be
some way of shoehorning the
multiple
Cowboys
Dallas Cowboys segments on like a Super Bowl week in
at
which,
Radio Row or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, I might be going insane.
Yeah.
So what I started doing was I would take a picture with my phone of the television screen, very boomer, and I would put it on social. And you, before Phantom Island launched,
I've caught into this.
You were the most, I think you took the most glee, probably because historically throughout my professional career, there is no colleague who has taken the most glee in my natural anger or egged it on more than you.
It's probably
where you're
true.
Like, oh, hey, this makes Godfrey mad.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, come here.
Yeah.
So you would start to respond when you were at oil change,
gym, all the same places,
whatever.
Yeah. Existing in the world.
There's a mute ESPN on, and you're like,
there it
Cowboys.
Is. There it is.
And the point of the game
is Dak adjective.
Is Dak. Dak tearing. Is Dak.
Should Cowboys something.
Bombs going off in Syria, comma, Dak.
What does it mean for Cowboys?
What does it mean? What does it. How does Cowboys impact Qatar? So the only other way you can play this, by the way, since we cover all sports on this program, you could do this with LeBron for a little while. We might actually we might be exiting that era.
Yeah.
You can still do this with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
You can hit me up.
You last week.
The point of the game is how many days in a row. It really is a viewership drive for ESPN, like coax, cable-ass, like traditional programming. They should steal this from me, make it a game and with a marketing incentive, with like a CTA. They can give away prizes.
Yeah,
I would have people do it, and then I would say, all right, well, you did it once. Now, when you go to the gym tomorrow and you're doing your cardio on the treadmill and you look up and you got your own thing going on your phone, you're watching your Vanderpump Rules or what such, you will see the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
And I got every physical therapist at the place I worked at on this. I got every trainer at the gym that I'm at now on this. Every single one of them. They all hate the Cowboys. Variety. Shout out, some of them are listening. Okay. I got a Browns fan. I got a Ravens fan. I got one trainer doesn't care at all about the NFL. I got one trainer doesn't care at all about sports. Okay. And they're like, oh shit, there's the star. Because it has nothing to do with physical fitness or athletic. Yeah. It's just a gym is where the like sports television is on mute 24 hours a day. So it drove me insane. And I don't have a better origin of this. Ryan, you're going to say, why, Stephen? Why do you care?
No.
I'm not. But we know why. Because you're going to tell me statistically why, I bet. It's because, and this is where I'm going to open this up. Before we talk about the Cowboys as a product to watch, the NFL is this monolith, and it's this giant.
It's the shield.
Yeah, it's the inescapable thing. But one of the things the NFL really started to tout about 20 years ago was, we're bigger than any individual matchup. This is not something any other sport can say in the world, in my opinion. Maybe in the world, but definitely in North America. If you're, as we're recording this, the Stanley Cup playoffs are going on, and I'm like, oh man, there are some bad breaks ratings-wise coming up if certain teams get hot.
Oh, sure. We talk, like, I feel like the NBA finals get talked about this way all the time. It's like, is this good or bad? Baseball's
glad you brought that up, because as the NBA, equally stupid in leaning into tropes rather than like finding new things to talk about or finding new stars, the NFL should be looking at I don't know how about that team in Washington, D.C. right now, mm-hmm. right? Think about how interesting and dynamic and really freaking fun to watch. Objectively, whether you like the Commanders or not, the Commanders were fun to watch last year.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels is awesome.
Yeah.
Dan Quinn, frustratingly enough for me, can call a really good defense when he actually has the personnel. Yeah. And yet,
Cliff Kingsbury seems to be doing very good work as offensive coordinator.
Yeah, he really kind of found his rhythm. Maybe he just needed to get less attractive in middle age. Yeah, I think that's basically it.
I've always felt that way.
So why am I watching? Why am I watching the Dallas Cowboys in 2024? Because this is where I'm going to hand it off to you, mainly so I can take a breath.
Okay.
We didn't see Dak last year. In all of the nationally televised games that we were force-fed, we saw a shit-tastic product. Poor Cooper Rush. But it not...
Well...
Central Michigan's own Cooper Rush.
The Giants-Cowboys Thanksgiving game... where Cooper Rush and Drew Lock squared off between two teams who were both well below 500 and had...
Hang on, take a beat and redo it. Cooper Rush versus Drew Lock in the most popular day for football in America.
Yeah, yeah.
Cooper Rush and Drew Lock. That's what the NFL took a deep breath, cleared its throat, and vomited into your lap.
Yeah, I mean, is that what the NFL wanted? When the schedule was set this way? No, but...
What was the NFL aware of the New York Giants for the previous 365 days?
I hear you. Let me find the number on this.
All right, I'll vamp for a second.
A little bit.
The Dallas Cowboys, in case for some reason you're listening to this in like a Eastern European nation, they play every year on Thanksgiving because they have force-fed
tradition.
That into America as
because
tradition.
It's tradition. Uh-huh.
Which was an even bigger deal previously because there used to only be two games on Thanksgiving. Weirdly, they were both involving NFC teams, the Dallas Cowboys and the Detroit Lions, but they would always finagle, find an AFC team, make it work. Both networks would be happy. I don't want to spend any time talking about why the Detroit Lions were on national television either. They're weirdly more sympathetic.
This game was watched by 38.5 million viewers.
Okay.
And I believe it was the regular season high for the NFL.
This was the highest rated regular season game in the NFL last year was Drew Lock versus Cooper Rush.
I believe that is correct.
Why are we doing this? We, and the we here is the NFL side. You know we're dumb, hungry piggies. America is stupid, and we're going to line up at that trough no matter what.
Yep.
We're a captive audience and say, please, Daddy, give me pro football.
I thought you didn't care about this.
Fuck. All Why in the world would the NFL deign to say, you know what we're going to do? NFC East. Dallas Cowboys every time.
I am going to give you some numbers on your to match with your feelings, because this is not numbers and words, but today it is going to be numbers and feelings, and I'm going to do that right after this message from Home Field Apparel.
This episode of Phantom Island is brought to you by our friends at Home Field Apparel. HomeFieldApparel.com. Do you like college sports? You have a favorite college sports team, or perchance, maybe you just enjoy college sports fashion. Go to HomeFieldApparel.com right now. There's a lot of new Tennessee hats. We're actually a Tennessee operation. We're not a University of Tennessee operation per se. Actually, half of the show went to a rival school. The other half just went to a different one. But we are located in Tennessee. And might I be the first to thank our friends at Home Field Apparel for creating wonderful, good-looking University of Tennessee apparel. You got to absorb a lot of orange where I'm at, this part of the old country. You want it to be nice orange. You want it to be quality, fashionable orange. And right now, as part of Home Field Summer School, they have eight new, isn't that crazy? Eight new hats featuring the Tennessee Volunteers. But what if you're not a Tennessee fan? What if you're morally aligned against that? Well, that's fine because they have pretty much every other school you can think of. So go to homefieldapparel.com, sign up. You get 10% off. You give them your email, man. Sign up today. Refer a friend. You get 20% off. Pretty crazy. Go to homefieldapparel.com, check your school, check other stuff, Indianapolis 500, all kinds of good-looking apparel, homefieldapparel.com.
I tried to step back and think about this from a numbers place, and I went to Sports Reference. Shout out to Sports Reference whenever I have a dumb thing I want to figure out in my brain.
Is there a person at Sports Reference?
No, they just have really good search tools.
Oh, I just thought it was like a very like friendly, like loquacious sort of like AI.
Someone just sort of like someone encouraging me in my pursuits.
Yeah, like a really happy sort of like AI
they just
bot.
They just have a good set of search. They're not a sponsor. I just want they have a good search tool that helps
free shout
me
out.
Scratch my brain when it's in instructions.
Promo code nothing.
That's right. So I looked at the last 10 years, and I said, okay, which NFL teams have had the most primetime games? I did just pick primetime games for this because I didn't want to get into, like, we can have a separate conversation, I think we will, about, like, is it good to be playing at 9 a.m. Eastern or Central because you're in London? I don't know. Like, that's a separate conversation.
It's good for the bottom line.
But I just looked at regular season primetime games. The Dallas Cowboys, this is over the last 10 seasons, are not number one, but they are very close. Dallas Cowboys have been on primetime television 53 times in that stretch.
In the last
10 seasons.
Okay.
Who do you think is number one? Just give me one guess, and I want to see if you can nail it.
The number one team in primetime.
The team that has had the most primetime games in the regular season.
How about I say who I think it should be?
Okay.
In the last 10 seasons, not make the most sense to have to put the Kansas City Chiefs in that spot?
It is not. They are number three. They are and I think that if we went back and looked, I think that would have to do with like the first half of that 10-year stretch.
Okay, where we have not a where they have 10 years we might still be Alex Smithing if I remember
right. We haven't quite unlocked.
All right,
the Green Bay Packers are just ahead of the Dallas Cowboys with 55. Now some of that is that I also tried to think about like okay, well, there's two teams in every night game. So are the Packers showing up because the Vikings have had a really good run over this stretch, or because there have been some really good Lions teams in the last couple of years? There, you know, Chicago has some interesting teams every now and then.
Boy, that sentence is doing some work.
Yeah, it is.
you were gonna slide.
I was gonna
by.
Say. I was
You're
gonna
trying to be so diplomatic.
I was gonna try to extol the virtues of Rex Grossman, but that doesn't apply to the time frame that we're talking here.
Go Gator.
At the bottom of this list, Jacksonville has been on primetime television 12 times, Carolina 18 times, Cleveland 21, and then your Atlanta Falcons just missing the bottom of this medal stand 23 times.
That's government oversight, okay? That's the same people who used to keep lead out of your water.
That's right.
They kept the Falcons off TV.
With all due respect to the Jags, the Panthers, and the Browns, like, these are teams that have been bad for long stretches, so I get why they weren't on television for long.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the other thing is that Dallas tends to be pretty good in these games. They're 32-21 in primetime. They're not the best team in primetime. That honor belongs to the Baltimore Ravens, who are 26-10. They have the highest winning percentage in the last 10 years in primetime. But, like,
I love that because if you watch Ravens football, that is not a marquee friendly brand.
I think it depends.
I love the Ravens, just to be clear.
Uh-huh.
Kind of wish I could transfer my application after 40 years of my own personal death cult, but like the Ravens football is not the funnest thing that you could build commercial advertising around.
So I have that set of rankings, just how often were you on primetime television?
Okay.
And I paired it with how many regular season games did your franchise win in this 10-game stretch? Because I think what we're trying to drive at is like, does merit matter, like, or is this just a branding exercise? Like, do the Cowboys get lots of primetime games because they're the Cowboys and they're super popular and it becomes this self-fulfilling cycle of sorts?
Jerry and the egg, if you will.
Right. So I took I basically came up with two rankings. Here's every team ranked by primetime appearances, and here's every team ranked by wins, regular season wins, over a 10-year period. And there are some patterns here, and I'm going to start with the subject of discussion, the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys, as I said, are number two in primetime appearances, and they are number 10 in wins. So that's a delta of 8. You could say, if you wanted, that they are 8 spots higher on the primetime ranking than they should be based on their performance.
So that, before we go any further, even without comparison, shows me that we are being force-fed an inferior product to at least a significant degree.
We are being over... Yes, you could say, if you buy this math, you could say, okay, we are being overexposed to the Dallas Cowboys relative to how good the Dallas Cowboys actually are.
Okay.
But I don't find them to be the chief offender. First of all of the NFC East teams are on TV disproportionate to their
success.
They're
overexposed.
Yes. Now, in some of these cases, like, Philly is 4th in primetime appearances and 7th in wins. That's not like a huge difference necessarily.
No, if that's a, I can say variation here, right?
Like, yes.
The spirit of the word,
yes,
mathematically.
Sure.
That's a variance that seems okay.
Yeah. Washington is 22nd in primetime appearance and 24th in wins. Again, we're like quibbling over like what may end up being like 2 appearances over a decade.
Yeah, Washington is the weird NFC East exception because they had a bit of a 2-decade thing that we can discuss later.
We've already talked about Dallas. The true offender, though.
Oh, God, here we go. I'm okay with this, too.
The New York Giants.
Those fuckers.
The New York Giants are 8th. They're tied for 8th with the Denver Broncos, who also are guilty of this sin, just like not quite as bad.
Okay.
They're tied for 8th in number of primetime appearances in the last decade. They are 29th in wins. So if you were a Cowboys fan coming into this being like, here they go, about to stick a knife. It is actually the Giants who, just in terms of primetime appearances, are way overexposed. For what they have done, they are on TV way too much. Now, the fun part about this is it's not just these things have to come at someone's expense. There are teams that have to be systematically underexposed as a result, right?
Right.
Which team do you think is the most put upon, has done the best in regular season wins in the last 10 years, and has seen the least payoff when it comes to primetime appearances as a result?
Okay. I'm going to vamp a little bit because I really want to try on this. This is not just like a device we're using on a podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like it's, well, I know for almost certain it can't be a large media market.
Yeah, I would agree with
that. Because the whole sort of point of this exercise, and we're going to get into why I don't think that someone is just going to go, hey, stupid, it's about ratings, that's why the NFC East is over.
Sure.
I'll get to that in a second.
Because again, we said Green Bay is the team that's on TV the most.
In fact, I'll just do it real fast. People are screaming at me right now saying, like, well, the most amount of people live in the northeastern United States, and these teams do really well because they're high population areas. Yes, if we were discussing any other sports league in the world, I would maybe entertain this, except the NFL has really touted, kind of proven they can put anything out there that they want, which is why we're coming back to this and I'm so frustrated. So can I go with, oh man, I feel really nervous about this, and this is not a bit, I don't know. Is it, I'm gonna, 3 guesses.
Okay. I'll tell you how hot or cold you are.
Seahawks?
The Seahawks are not this team. The Seahawks are actually exactly even. They are 7th in wins, and they are 7th in primetime appearances.
Love it. Perfectly balanced. Go Seattle.
And I will tell you, geographically...
The Bengals?
Geographically, you're not doing particularly well. You are closer with the Bengals, but the Bengals are also pretty much close to even. 18th in wins, 19th in primetime appearances.
When you said I'm close, are you talking about geography?
I'm talking about geography. You have moved closer. Seattle was not close at all. Cincinnati
it's
is
not
closer.
The Bills, is it?
It is the Buffalo Bills. It is.
What?
With your, okay.
Wait,
the
wait,
Buffalo
what?
Bills, the
what?
Buffalo Bills in the last 10 years are number 2 in the NFL in regular season wins. I know they haven't won a Super Bowl. I know they haven't played in a Super Bowl.
Oh, I don't care. I like. Yeah, yes, no. Yeah. Yes. But, beloved. Good people.
But in terms of just like which teams are in the playoff
So you're saying the Bills are the ones who can stand up and scream the loudest with the most authority.
That
they're getting screwed by the NFL's marketing apparatus.
By a team not that far away from them in the New York Giants. I mean, it is far away, but like compared to Seattle, no. They are number 2 in wins over this 10-year stretch.
Yeah.
Number 17 in primetime appearances.
I still blame Scott Norwood.
A huge, huge delta. And also, like, and...
Wow.
You know, I think when you, I try to think about like, okay, why could that be?
Yeah.
Outdoor stadium. NFL might be nervous about, well, you know, we don't want to play night games when it's cold late in the season, whatever. But again,
I guess.
But again, Green Bay is number one. Green Bay has no more of an indoor stadium than Buffalo does. No,
and we all lose our shit when it snows in like Pittsburgh or Cleveland.
Yep.
Or the Pittsburgh-Cleveland game from last year where everyone was losing their mind. That wasn't a good football game, but like, I guarantee you, so at least social engagement pop because they were like, it's snowing on the lake.
Yeah. I feel like the Bills are of the other sort of like brands that we're talking about. If you're looking at who else is sort of Tennessee is right below them. Titans have.
I'm unfamiliar.
Okay. I don't know. I feel like maybe the Bills aren't the Cowboys or Steelers, but they feel like a pretty big brand. They feel like they've got a pretty sizable fan base. I understand they have one of the best
quarterbacks in the league, who, by the way, is dating a movie star.
Yeah. And they've had like legendary players in the past. There's obviously the four Super Bowls thing.
They have one of the most defined, the Cowboys. They have one of the most defined fan bases in sports.
Yes.
Because of the four Super Bowl losses, but then because of like emotionally.
Yeah.
As a Falcons fan, I relate most to Buffalo and aspire to Buffalo because Buffalo has done something that I want my team to do, which is to say, you, the rest of the world, question our existence,
right.
Our practice, our agency, our reason for being as fans. Not only are we going to say we don't care, we're going to put on our Zubaz, we're going to get irrationally drunk at 11:30, and we're going to jump through tables. We're going to do something serious. I'm not kidding. Like we're going to create a comical physical display of how dedicated we are to this football team that's a lost cause.
Yeah.
If you can't build a marketing campaign around, if you can't pluck that brand out for the rest of the country to enjoy and watch, and because this is what the NFL is supposed to do.
A team that's given us some like, for not necessarily always in their favor, frequently not, but like has given us some classic playoff games. Some like all-timers across multiple eras of the NFL.
Yeah, the Oilers wild card game way back in the day is the first one that comes to mind. And there's people listening to this who weren't alive for that.
Yeah.
Wow. So this only reinforces my anger because, and I'm trying to play this straight for a second.
Yeah.
I think it's laziness. We didn't talk a lot about this show before we started recording because Ryan had these numbers and I wanted to react to them in real time. Then y'all could hear me guffaw and snort.
But and hey, on guess three, you did get to the Bills, so good job.
Thank you. It just means that first off, I'm not a crank. I'm not a crank. Justified. Sorry, Bill Barnwell. All right,
back up. You are a crank. You're not a crackpot.
I'm a justified crank. What it is. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a crackpot about other things. Yeah. But the NFL, this is the thesis I'm building now. And the question that we always have a question on Phantom Island, and the question that we were seeking today, was this just a perpetual chicken and egg situation with the NFL and the Dallas Cowboys?
Right.
Now I feel justified holding up the Buffalo Bills. And by the way, you did say my entire division, the NFC South, is the most underrepresented.
There is not a single team in the South that is on TV as much or more than they should be on primetime TV, as much or more than they should be based on their win total. Atlanta, the Saints, the Bucks, and the Panthers are all underwater in this regard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is why
the Falcons are the most downtrodden in this regard, although the differences are
the least put on national television.
Yeah, they're 21st in wins and 29th in primetime appearances. So they have the biggest delta.
Yeah, again, not mad about it. If you had a family member who constantly soiled themselves at like large public events, you wouldn't take them out either.
But even the Saints, like who had like this 10 years includes
Drew Brees.
A lot of the Drew Brees run.
This is where I do. Okay, this is where I'm not going to do a bit. Hate that franchise. Hate that man. Yeah. Hate that team.
Yeah.
Arch rivals. Which is hard to tell a national audience, people kind of laugh.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was telling you about, I don't know, Giants, Eagles, I wouldn't need any context, or Packers, Bears, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So Saints and Falcons, is that acrimonious?
Yep.
I always thought, I can say this now because the man's retired, in the Breeze era, post-championship, it never felt like the league was pushing the Saints –
Correct.
Who played like who even when Peyton, who's a godforsaken human being, Sean Payton, even at the height of Bountygate, that team throws the ball around a lot. That quarterback goes downfield. They created, believe me, I was on the receiving end of it as a fan. That's an exciting, like the Saints didn't play boring football.
No, no, and didn't play boring primetime
football. And it never felt like the NFL was like, we can make the Saints something. And so this takes me to my larger conspiracy theory, although guess what? Certified, justified, not a crank. Let's pull one out of thin air right now.
Yeah.
So let's do Bryce Young and the Panthers.
Okay.
And then also, if you think it's just a Southern thing for me, let's find, off the top of our heads really fast, let's find a young quarterback in a non-traditional, like, brand in the NFL.
Off Texans?
Okay. Southern, but that's okay.
Oh, you want to know?
No, no, it's fine. Okay. Houston. Okay. Like, it's not the NFC. Okay. This is one that I talked about specifically last year on social where I got really pissed off. C.J. Stroud's 2023 season.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Yes, extremely awesome.
And Houston was so fun to watch.
Yeah.
And that Texans-Browns game, in wild card weekend, good football product.
Yeah.
It's what the league is looking for.
Yeah.
They did fuck all building C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans.
An Ohio State quarterback. Like, somebody that shouldn't be just like,
kind of America's other professional team, the Ohio State Buckeyes. Right. Bryce, same situation in Carolina.
Yeah.
Let's just say Carolina fixes it with Bryce. You kind of saw that down the stretch last season.
Yeah.
They like, I like, again, as a rival, I'm like, oh shit, Panthers kind of are like, they're getting competent. Okay? If the Panthers and Bryce Young, or the Texans and C.J. Stroud, win two of the next, a year or two from now. Like, I'm going to be realistic about this.
Yeah.
In the next 5 years, if they win two Super Bowls, either franchise.
If they make two Super Bowls.
Either franchise.
Yeah.
I don't think the league will do a damn thing. And I think that we will, on back-to-back Carolina Panther Super Bowl championships, and Bryce is doing 900 commercials and dating whatever pop star is of the moment in 7 years or whatever, I think we will still have more Dallas Cowboys games.
On primetime television.
And maybe worse because I'm not popular in sports journalism for a lot of reasons, but like I hold journalism more accountable than any other institution because that's how I feel like we're supposed to do it. You will still turn on ESPN and see the floating heads screaming about the Dallas Cowboys because they know it's a shortcut to ratings. You will see ESPN.com publish more speculative crap and sort of shovelware content around the NFC East and the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, so this is where I want to defend the programming choices.
Fuck. All right, fine.
I think part of the reason why the Cowboys are on TV a lot in these sort of like solo spots, a lot of America really enjoys watching the Dallas Cowboys struggle and fail.
Still?
Yes, still. I mean, there's obviously, but think about like
how long does Schadenfreude have a shelf life?
I think it's the same as Jerry Jones's.
So we got to kill
Especially
Jerry?
When you're talking about things like Roger Sherman has written about, like the Cowboys won't close the curtains and can't see the ball in their fancy new stadium that they built the wrong way.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
I think there is some element of like the Cowboys as an organization, they'll never like be humbled. So there is no moment to start to feel like, all right, this is piling on. Maybe when Tony Romo was playing quarterback is the smallest shred of like, that was a story people liked or what. I don't know.
I think we haven't gotten tired of
watching the Cowboys lose.
So your theory is that the Cowboys deserve or justify their inclusion at this level and frequency because we all want to heal.
All right, so the joke about bandwagon social media person is their four favorite teams are the Lakers, the Cowboys,
Duke.
The Yankees, and Duke, right?
Yeah.
Those are the teams we all like watching lose no matter what. And if you told me in 10 years from now, do you think people will still like watching them lose? My gut answer will be yes.
It's funny because I'm trying to get us, I'll get us out of here on this because there's no fixing this.
No.
But again,
we're not here to provide answers or fix problems.
Disgruntled crank today.
Yeah.
Justify. You did it.
No, I did.
You filled me with.
I ran the numbers.
I would say confidence, but let's just call it mirth. Okay. You have filled me with a newfound rage.
Honestly, it's harder to fill you with mirth than confidence. So I'll take that as a compliment.
This is more or less why I find myself in not particularly friendly real world arguments with people in the college football space, mm-hmm. media space,
yeah.
or rights holder space.
Okay.
This is why I've had some pretty nasty interactions. Because I need people to be honest at a level that's probably just never going to be forced upon them or to them. And if, you know, we joked this whole show about, oh, you see ESPN on mute. I'm never going to watch First Take. I acknowledge that I'm in the minority. I never, ever want to watch that Mike Greenberg show. I don't know what it's called. It's like their version of the Today Show.
Yeah.
But somehow more craven and dystopian.
Sure.
Like it.
There are far fewer delightful cooking segments, for one thing.
Get Up. That's what it's called. If you told Mike Judge to bang out a screenplay that was like half Idiocracy, half sports media, you would get Up.
Yeah.
I know that I'm in the minority that like however hundreds of good, like Stephen A. Smith makes whatever he does and you know, this Stephen is an idiot because I understand all of this. And I can live with not being a person who is in this massive majority of Americans who, I guess, Ryan, really do are like, man, is Dak gonna like is Dak struggling this week? Is Dak not struggling this week? Are they like the same ignorant, sloven narratives that are as lazy to manufacture as they are to consume?
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. I don't look. Arby's is everywhere, and I don't have to eat there. There's one lost sponsor.
I like Arby's.
Hardee's is the same.
Yeah.
I drive. There's a Hardee's in Nashville I've never eaten at in 20 years. And like I drive by it almost every day. All I really want, it's the same thing I want from like all the principals involved in college football. All I want here is someone at ESPN to just say, we know what we're doing. And let's just be transparent. Y'all want to boo at the Cowboys? So we're going to prop up the Cowboys. If your theory is correct, mm-hmm. or it's just, hey, there's a lot of people in Texas and there's even more people in America who like really did adopt them as the
who
team,
have fond memories of a long
America's
time ago.
team of the 90s, whatever. Yeah. And like I met some Cowboys fans recently when you and I were on a work thing that we'll talk about soon. And kind of talked about the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I don't care about like I really don't care about Dak or like I dislike the Cowboys.
Well, it's because you're an old Miss shill, but we'll put that to the side.
Oh, Jesus.
Can I give you a glimmer of hope?
That someone's going to come out and just be like, hey, we're just shoveling the Cowboys at you because it's good for ratings?
No.
Is Jimmy Pitaro still in charge of ESPN?
I don't know, but I do have something here from Fox Sports that might interest you.
Oh, God.
This is a recent comment that Michael Mulvihill gave to Richard Deitch at The Athletic because Fox is embracing a different strategy with its afternoon window, with the 4:30 window.
All nudity.
Maybe. He didn't say that. Here is the quote. Of our 4:25 p.m. games, only three of them are Cowboys games, Mulvihill said. In other years, we've gone looking for five or six Dallas games at 4:25. What we wanted for this year was more AFC, more Philly, go Birds, that's from me, but also more Detroit and a little more Washington to try to capitalize on Jaden Daniels' story.
Okay.
I think we have a better mix of teams than we've had in the past. Sometimes we've heard exasperation from fans that the Fox 4:25 game, which kind of functions as a standalone game in a lot of ways as well.
And I didn't count it.
Right.
The Cowboys numbers for this conversation would have been more inflated because on those coverage maps, the Fox 4:25 Eastern pretty much goes coast to coast.
Yes, except some parts of the country.
The Bengals and Jags will be playing on CBS
yes.
for like two cities.
So He said, sometimes we've heard exasperation from fans that the Fox 425 game is always the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. It's still going to be the Cowboys sometimes
this year. Hell yeah.
But you'll see a little bit more variety in terms of top teams in our 425 window. So that is a sign.
He's trying to do less cocaine.
That is a sign that somebody with a vested interest, and this is because, like, part of this is because Fox's ratings have fallen behind CBS in the past couple years, even though Fox pays more for the NFC rights, given the markets in the NFC versus the AFC.
Okay.
This is like, there is some push to this. This suggests that Dallas doesn't get put on television because they are always popular, no matter what. It's that Dallas has benefited from favorable coverage windows. And now I think, and maybe this is just one example, television is looking at that and being like, but what if America doesn't want to watch all Cowboys all the time?
So what you're telling me is it only takes 20 years of wanton, depraved overexposure for the powers that be to marginally adjust
and
their elbow-deep force-feeding of a sub-mediocre product down my fucking throat.
And to be clear, the league still put the Cowboys on Thanksgiving and Christmas. They were always going to be on Thanksgiving. Still gave them a ton of primetime games. Okay. Like, it's not, we haven't reached a point where it's like, you know what? Cowboys games are going to be at 1 o'clock and you're going to have some choices.
This is how I'm going to wrap this up. Every year for, 10 plus now, the NFL, with their Sunday night partner, which is NBC, contracts out that the first week of the season, the defending Super Bowl champions will have a home game.
Yes.
This makes a ton of sense.
Yes.
It is naked meritocracy.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. It makes sense. Your Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl this year.
They did.
Okay. All right. Your Philadelphia Eagles, for those of you who don't know, the NFL schedule in terms of like this date and this time was just announced in early May. But your opponents are set in advance, okay? Do you have Do you have the Eagles schedule, like, handy?
I do.
Okay. So in the Philadelphia Eagles schedule, you are guaranteed to kick off the entire season, all right? This is it. This is the NFL is, like, putting you as the crown jewel of, hey, guys, America, football is back, the most highest-rated thing in the world. You have the choice of, your home games are already determined. I want to be clear about this.
Yeah.
The NFL could have said, you know what we want to do? Hey, speaking of snow, Ryan, do you remember that awesome game in the snow in Philly against the Rams?
Yes.
Okay.
Great
the
game.
Rams are on the Philly home schedule.
Yes, they are.
Shit. Los Angeles is the number two media market in the country.
Yep.
The Rams are a Super Bowl winner within the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
They have a proven quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They played a pretty tight game.
Yeah, against... they played a good and interesting game.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah.
They have, Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
Detroit Lions, NFC Championship. Dan Campbell.
2 years ago. Back to the playoffs.
Completely.
Number one seed in the playoffs last year.
Completely rebranded and changed the, like, just a revived entity.
Yeah.
Why would you not, as the NFL, want to say, hey, let's continue to push the Lions back into relevance, really more so than the Lions have ever been relevant?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember the last time the Lions had been in the playoffs, and it was Wayne Fonts in 1991 coaching them against D.C.
Yeah.
Okay? Hey, speaking of D.C., Ryan.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels is one of the most dynamic and interesting players.
You heard a Fox executive say this, yeah.
And y'all played the NFC Championship against each other.
Mm-hmm.
That was Commanders-Eagles.
Yep.
Dan Quinn, great defense. Yep. Again, that's another great choice. I'm not going to do this on the entire schedule, but there were clearly options to make a great football game on Thursday night, which heralds, like, you and I both come from college football, but we will make no bones about, like, football season truly starts for most of America when the NFL comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a national holiday. Who did they pick to kick the season off?
Dallas Cowboys. And I only have one thing to say in response.
What?
Justice for the Buffalo Bills.
Go Birds.